Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord today speaks to Israel, to the people of Judah, to the captives already in exile, and to us. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And on it goes. They taught us sometime back when I was in school, and I heard it at different times when I was in certain businesses, to always use I statements. Don't say you always or you never, but turn it on yourself. I don't understand what you're saying. Even if you are a total idiot the way you're saying it, you don't say that. And so God here is making a lot of I statements, but some of them are comforting and some of them are a little scary. But by the time we're done hearing him speak to us through the prophet, we have a pretty good idea that he has a plan and he is going to carry it out, that he's going to do it all by himself and that there ain't nobody gonna stop him. Well, almost by himself, right? He tells Israel that he's going to look for his scattered sheep, the places where they've been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And you stop and think about that. Does that mean that they were scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness? Perhaps. Storms are not a good thing in the mind of sheep or a lot of other critters. They will hide, they will run when the lightning starts flashing and the wind starts howling. But also, the Lord could be sort of cluing us in on what's going to be happening when David reappears, when his servant becomes the shepherd, because on a day of clouds and thick darkness, the Lord reached out for his scattered sheep. As he spread his arms and died for us, so also he reconciled us to God. He brought us peace with God. And so perhaps this is a both and, as the Lord is sort of setting the stage, not tipping his hand yet, but giving us a little bit of clue of what's going to come. Then on he's going to go here, how he's going to feed them on the mountains. There's going to be lush grass down in the ravines, up on the mountaintops. Every place that the sheep go, it's going to be great pasture land. They're going to have plenty of water, and everything's going to be good forever and ever. Not bad. And then he talks about how he's going to go out seeking the lost, bringing back the strayed. And this parallels somewhat with what Jesus says then in Matthew, how his people seek the lost, how his people love those who are hurting, those who are scattered, those who have problems of body, mind, or spirit. We cannot truly bring justice, but we could be messengers of his justice. We cannot bring full and total peace, but we could be messengers of that peace. And so the Lord seeks the lost, not because he's going around everywhere, but because he sends his church everywhere. And then he promises judgment. And if you see in the insert, the reading skips verses 17 through 19. But that's just piling on what he's already been saying. He says, the fat and the strong I will destroy. And then he goes on. As for you, my flock, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough that you feed on the good pasture, that you must also tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture? To drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? In other words, what he says next about how he's going to be judging between the fat and the lean, the fat sheep have been getting that way because they've been pushing the lean out of the way. The fat sheep are taking advantage of the skinny ones, the weak ones, the ones who cannot fend for themselves. This is a social thing. This is an economic thing. This is a societal thing. But this also could be a thing of the church, because those who are established in the church sometimes are a little uncomfortable when new and different people come in and try making themselves at home. And sometimes we sort of let them sit in a corner and maybe they'll figure out how we do things and maybe they'll just disappear after a time. But however it is, the Lord says that it's not a good thing when his sheep take advantage of other sheep. And there finally will come that time of judgment. He's going to judge because you push aside with shoulder and thrust with your horns. I've been around sheep and cattle, and they can get pretty ornery with one another, and the strong ones will take advantage of the weak. It's that way in almost anything. You get a litter of hogs, a litter of puppies, and the stronger ones get up there and get even more, and the weaker ones get less and less. Unless we step in, somebody's going to die. But the Lord promises to step in. He doesn't want any of his people to die. And then he says, I'm going to set up one shepherd. And we would think this is going to be God because he's already said it, right? I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them. And then here at the end of the section, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. How can this be? God has just said, it's all on me. I'm going to do it all myself because nobody else is doing it. Even the best intentions of my people are falling short. The land is a mess. People are taking advantage of one another. There's usury. There's too much interest for the investments. There is theft. There are people putting their thumb on the scales so that they can get a more favorable weight. All the ways you can cheat somebody else, somebody among my sheep, is practicing that. And I'm going to fix that, and all of a sudden, David's going to fix that. Well, Ezekiel and everybody who he was talking to here knows that David has been dead for quite some time already. But still, David stands in as the one who the Lord will send to rescue his people. David is another way of saying the Messiah. And what God is saying right here is that this David isn't just some guy who's going to show up. This shepherd, this David who shows up, is doing the God stuff. And who is like God? God. Who can do God things? God. We can do godly things, but can we create or destroy with a word? Can we cause a virgin birth? How about something easy like turning water into wine or feeding 5,000 people with a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish? Can't you even do that? Or call a guy who's been dead 4 days out of the tomb? But this one who is coming, this David, will do the things that God does, which should lead Ezekiel's hearers and us to say, you think he's talking about God coming down here in human flesh? You think that when David comes back, it's actually going to be God wearing flesh clothing and doing people things, but doing them better than people do them? Which is exactly what we have, isn't it? That's why Jesus, when he says, I am the good shepherd, has some people upset with him because he's hearkening back to what God is saying right here. God is the good shepherd, and God sets David up, and whether he's claiming to be God himself or claiming to be David working for God, nobody wanted to accept that claim. But we who do, we who believe it, realize that he did it for us. Our good shepherd, our Savior, went out on that day of clouds and thick darkness and saved us from ourselves. From the devil, from the world, and from our own sinful flesh. And he talks then how he's going to effect this rescue. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Jesus said, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. David did and does feed his sheep just as he said he was going to do. Because David, in the New Testament, in the virgin birth, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is David done right. He doesn't have that little problem with adultery and conspiracy to commit murder. He doesn't have all those disobediences that crop up along with all of his great and wonderful deeds. He's Adam done right. He's Israel done right. He's David done right. And he's you and me done right. So that he can redeem, so that he can shepherd, so that he can feed and guide and guard each and every one of us. So that we aren't the ones who are taking advantage of other people, and are rather the ones who are looking for those who are naked, homeless, sick, or otherwise deprived of creature comforts, or the comforts of being known and loved. One shepherd, my servant, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. One of his titles is the Prince of Peace, is it not? Jesus reigns under his Father. And we have Paul reminding us that Jesus will hold everything under himself. And the only thing that is not subjected to Jesus is the Father who sent him. and when all things are subjected, when death is finally and completely put to death, when every single person who is going to be called into eternity is called into eternity, then Jesus hands it all over to the Father and says, my work is finished. But now his work continues. He still goes out into the world looking for the lost by sending his church out into the world to look for the lost. He still goes out in the world feeding 5 and 10 and 20 and more thousand, both by gathering the clouds for the rain and the sun to shine and allowing the crops to grow, but also then by providing people to do those things, to farm, to harvest, to raise critters, and also then in their plenty to give those things to those who are in need. He who had no roof over his head for much of his ministry allows us the privilege of putting roofs over other people's heads. He went on short rations so often, but he allows us the privilege of feeding him by feeding others. And at the end, when they stripped him down and nailed him to the cross, he in turn clothed us with his robes of righteousness, washed away our sins, and gave us our baptismal gowns that are snow white and beautiful in the eyes of God and one another. David shall shepherd. And when Jesus came as the virgin's son, he started doing just that. We just sang how the first people who found out about it were shepherds. Right? Again, God is giving little clues. Remember what I said to Ezekiel? This is happening now, people. The good shepherd is here in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is the son of David, and he is also David's Lord. And he's our Lord. He is our servant, because he bowed down even to death, and also our master, our prince, because he reigns over every one of us. Not harshly and cruelly, but rather in love and generosity. And he allows us then the privilege of reigning over our own passions and holding them in check and looking around and seeing who has less than I do, who has greater needs than I have, and in loving response to him, loving other people. You are not the good shepherd, but every one of you, along with being one of God's sheep, is a voice of that shepherd, is an emissary of that shepherd. And you may not have a big flock, but there's somebody lost, somebody alone, somebody hurting in your life. Whether they're locked in a nursing home because of COVID, whether they're homesick, whether they feel that nobody cares for them anymore, whether they're struggling to make ends meet, and now at the time of year when we're usually extra generous, food donations are down, those big dinners that they hold for the homeless aren't happening. And in those people, we see those who need our love. We have an opportunity to be what the shepherd made us. Sheep who are loved and sheep who are loving. I pray that you live in that love and that that love lives in you and through you and all who need it. In the name of Jesus, your good shepherd. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Jesus Christ. Amen.